Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Another Monday following a Colts game, and this time with a loss to the Oakland Raiders, 31-24 at home. Kind of felt like last week, even just in the other direction, in terms of being the Falcons and the Colts controlling them most of the game, the score being much closer than it actually seemed on during the game. And I think this was pretty similar in the opposite direction for the Colts. I mean, yes, they had an opportunity before Brissett's pick six to tie the game up. Just in general, the Colts were pretty much manhandled through the majority of this game. And, you know, Derek Carr, these guys all did what they needed to do. The defense for the Raiders, everything in general, did what they needed to do to really kind of handle the Colts in this one. By and large, the Colts did, you know, enough to make kind of the stat line look good for Jacoby Brissett, I suppose, but he had to throw the ball 46 times, 265 yards, three scores, an interception. Like I said, on the ticker, this looks good, but this was out of pure necessity, and it was still a 265-yard day. You know, I mean, 5.8 yards per attempt, that's indicative of how this game was for the Colts. We had a lot of miscues, some bad play all the way around, and this just has to get turned around. I'm not on the let's go crazy train quite yet. Obviously, I told you guys, you know, that I'm going to give this a little more latitude. Everybody has bad games. The Colts were missing some people, so this isn't like a, you know, a tear it down and get all crazy situation. But the Colts just look like crap in general. That's just the way it is. The running game was effective in spurts for the Colts, but they didn't have the opportunity to do it enough. And just there were just too many negative plays. There were too many things that were going against what the Colts were doing good for there actually to be some success on drives and so on and so forth. So I'm going to go through some of my thoughts here. But just in general, I mean, I don't know how you can be a Colts fan and say that was any sort of a good game. There, like I said, there's a lot of misleading stats in this one. Anthony Walker is another one. High tackles, wasn't very productive, didn't play very good ball, in my opinion. Bobby Okereke even, you know, a couple good plays, didn't play very good ball really all that well. Aside from, you know, a few kind of solid plays, the Colts just, you know, they missed opportunities, they made mistakes, and they just weren't very good in a couple certain areas that are really indicative of trying to put a W on the board. So let's go through a little bit. Obviously, we'll just kind of go through some of the scoring plays and some thoughts that I've got for the game. The Raiders came out and just milked the clock immediately, going up 7-0 on an 18-yard touchdown pass to Foster Moreau. The Colts, this is something you're going to hear throughout the day and throughout the show. The Colts got zero pressure on Derek Carr, and they just didn't do anything up front. And the Raiders were able to pretty much do whatever they wanted to do, aside from a few drives where the Colts actually, you know, put a stop on them. But this defense in general, this is a problem. I mean, this is legitimately a problem. Yes, they're out Darius Leonard, but look, guys, do you guys remember? I mean, we're only 4 weeks in. Darius Leonard had one of his worst games as a pro in week one. Yes, he improved. Yes, he brought out some tackles and stuff over the in week two. But everybody, I see so many people talking about this game would have been different had Darius Leonard been in the game. Well, maybe. Maybe not. I mean, the Raiders had the Colts number. And don't act like Anthony Walker isn't, you know, I wouldn't say a seasoned veteran, obviously, but he's not a rookie. He's a third-year guy. This is kind of what's going on right now. The Colts just aren't playing good football, especially defensively. Obviously, offensively, they've got, you know, some things that are working for them. But, you know, without T.Y. Hilton, this game was pretty ugly. And it kind of makes you aware that even when Brissett has a good game, or if Brissett has a good game, T.Y. Hilton is so important to this Colts offense. We saw Paris Campbell, Deion Kane. We'll get into that a little bit. See, I start talking and thinking about something, and I get off task here. But Colts down 7-0 after Raiders' first drive. Kane and Campbell were the starting wide receivers. The Colts used multiple tight ends several times through this game, which, you know, kind of par for the course with T.Y. out. Colts go 3-and-out. looked like crap in general as an offense. Wasn't a good showing by Ryan Kelly, in my opinion, in this game at all, but especially early on. Wasn't able to get to the second level very often, wasn't very effective in pass protection, in my opinion. And as we'll talk about here in a little bit, those negative plays, Ryan Kelly had something to do with a few of them at least. And then the Colts get smacked in the face by a 60-yard touchdown run by Trevor Davis on the very first play from scrimmage after that. Now you go three and out and you get hit with a 60-yard touchdown run, that's going to kick you in the ass the rest of the day. That is something that, yes, you can come back from. That is a real dagger, though, in the heart right early in the game. You get smoked on an entire drive. I mean, how many? I don't know how many plays that first drive was, like 10, 12 plays, maybe even more. Then you go three and out offensively, and then you get hit with a big play, something that's been haunting you all season. The Colts are giving up too many big plays, most of them on the ground. What was it? I mean, look here, on the ground. No contain on this play. This was ugly all the way around the entire defense. The entire defense. Now, look, we talk often about linebackers over-pursuing or moving with the play action and just overdoing it too much. The entire damn defense for the Colts over-pursued on this play. Not something that they can afford to do when you've got two guys on the backside of this play that are there to tackle, and you've got three lead blockers and all of them about 275 or heavier. That's not going to be good news for the Colts secondary, and it wasn't. And Trevor Davis went largely untouched on this run. So down 14-0 with 8:03 left in the first. The Colts go a second consecutive three and out. Not a good way to keep it up. The Colts do luck out on a Raiders fumble, the exchange on the next possession between Carr and Jacobs. Justin Houston recovered it. That's good. That looks like, okay, we're only down 14. Now we've got a shot. And they did. The Colts actually came through on this one. Didn't have to use a lot of the field, obviously. Took over at the Raiders' 22-yard line. Mack ended up getting a nice 18-yard run right off the jump. This was kind of the beginning of the Colts' running game. It looked pretty good after this. Mo Alie-Cox, excellent block to spring Mack for extra yardage. Really becoming a very good inline blocker, in my opinion. Mo Alie-Cox is one of those guys that you see his athleticism in the receiving game. He's a possible future guy here for that aspect. But, damn, he is really good as a blocker. I mean, he's almost like the Dwayne Allen, I guess, but only better. I think Dwayne Allen started as a pretty solid blocker, went downhill pretty bad after that. Mo Alie-Cox, to me, just looks like a guy who's going to maintain. He's been getting better at this. It's a consistent improvement from year to year and spans of quarters through the season. I think that we're seeing a really good futures guy, honestly, for the Colts here in Mo Alie-Cox. And he can catch the ball. So, I mean, that's a good thing. We'll talk about that with the tight ends, too. That didn't work out so well. But the Colts down 14-7, 5:22 left in the first. The Colts end up going down another score after a touchdown throw to Williams. The one over Quincy Wilson, it was in the corner of the end zone. Colts go down 21-7, 14-13 in the second. This was kind of one of those things where you see the ball go up. Quincy Wilson's in pretty good coverage. He just wasn't his awareness wasn't there. And we saw this, I don't think it was last year, maybe in the year before, maybe, where Quincy Wilson was defending Galladay. And that might even have been a preseason game. For some reason, this one sticks out to me. It was very similar. He's in good coverage. You know, he's where he needs to be, but he's not aware of where the ball is at. And this has been something that Quincy Wilson's done really well all year. He's had a hell of a camp. He's had a good start to the season. This was kind of one of those, ooh, that didn't look good in terms of progression. I expected him to turn around at minimum, make a play on the ball. He wasn't able to, and the Colts are down 21-7. And it just looked like the Colts were going to get smashed throughout the whole day. I mean, it just looked that way. It didn't necessarily turn out that way, but this was a hard, hard start to come back from. So I'll give the Colts that in the way that they brought the score back to even be in the opportunity to get themselves tied there right before the Brissett pick six. So at this point, the Raiders were 3 of 3 on third down. 211 total yards for the Raiders, 15 for the Colts. The Raiders had run 24 plays to the Colts 9, and Brissett at this point was 1 of 5 for 5 yards and a touchdown. And a touchdown, the one to Doyle here. So that was a really auspicious start for the Colts. The Colts do get a field goal on their next possession. This is the one where Doyle gets smashed by Burfict. That was absolutely an intentional play. I tweeted out right after that. I said, New York just called. And they said, get his ass out of that game. That's exactly what happened. That was absolutely an intentional act. Doyle catches the ball, goes down to his knees. Kind of, yes, you see that he's going to try and get up and run again. But, man, that was a brutal, brutal hit. That was literally a bullet coming out. Vinny end up hitting his field goal, though. The Colts get themselves obviously in range for that after a Mac 14-yard run. And the Colts are still down 21-10 with 7:33 to left to go in the second. Right at this point, the Colts passing game was awful. The running game was saving a lot because of a couple big runs here from Mac. The bad offensive execution for the most part. Brissett at this point was 4 of 10, 14 yards. Not good. You know, especially after you go 16 in a row last week, this was a fall off. I mean, yes, some of these throws were out, were rangy. The Colts were trying to be more aggressive. But I think that they found out that they just probably shouldn't early on in the game. One way or another, you need to get Brissett in a rhythm, and the Colts failed to get him in the rhythm in this. And this is kind of something that we hear, and I'll go through a little bit of the Twitter stuff that went around yesterday. But just in general, I think this is a pretty good indication that Frank Reich didn't have a very good day either. Now, I don't know that there's nobody that's going to say they don't like Frank Reich, especially me. I love Frank Reich. I think he's a fantastic play caller. I think he's a good designer of offenses and plays, and I wouldn't even say gadget plays, but he's very intuitive to what's going on the field, the flow of the defenses that he's going to be playing against. And this game just was not a good game for him. That's just the matter of fact. The Colts did end up getting a stop and getting a punt from the Raiders. We had a little bit of momentum here going into 27-yard shot to Chester Rogers. The Colts moved the ball over to Doyle. The running backs were getting involved. Looked like the Colts were getting back in their mix here. Brissett missed on a shot to Pascal in the end zone. Wasn't a bad throw or anything. It just was kind of the way the coverage was. It was over his head. It was a good throw in that way that the inside coverage from the corner was going to probably make that pass impossible if he didn't go high, and he had to put it where Pascal could catch it and nobody could, or somebody in the front row was going to catch it ultimately. Ebron at this had already had his third drop of the game. He had a terrible game. That touchdown run at the end, yes, that's nice, but even there, you see some of the mechanics that are haunting him. Yes, I think all of his drops were hands drops during the game. That touchdown pass, even, he didn't need to jump for that ball. If he's a hands catcher, he runs over, his hands are about in front of his face where that ball comes down. But instead, he jumps and lets the ball get into his body. That's just bad mechanics on the receiver's part. Yes, it worked out, but I mean, I don't know. I guess if he can't catch the ball with your hands, you try to catch it with your body. I don't know. Ebron, a crappy day overall, though. Yeah, like I said, he was on the receiving end of that touchdown. He ran after two guys, went after the ball, and not to tackle. So, I mean, you hate to be negative about a positive play, but ultimately that was, I want to say, pure luck on the option for, or not for the option, but for the result of Ebron getting that touchdown. He had to turn and run with basically nobody there to catch him. So, is what it is. But anyways, he was not having a good game. They threw a screen to Campbell. He picked up some good yardage, ends up fumbling with just over 3.5 minutes to go in the half. And that just kind of, shot it back down. The Colts had a chance right here to make this a very tight game at 21-17 with, a couple minutes left to go in the half. Where do they go from there? We don't know, but that's not what happened. So the Raiders end up getting a drop, and a personal foul set the Raiders back even further on fourth down. The Colts end up getting another drive out of this. And see, now the defense holds up twice here to the end of the half, gives the offense an opportunity. The offense didn't come through, and that's kind of something that gets lost in the shuffle here. The Colts weren't great, very bend don't break, even when they did get off the field. But they did make a couple, get the Colts out on third down a couple times before the first half was over, which probably saved even the opportunity for the Colts to get close. The Colts converted a fourth down and three to get inside the 40. There was a delay game. Corey Legit ended up going and I think going after Zach Pascal after a reception. There was about a minute 15 to go in the half. Glowinski got an ineligible offensive lineman downfield on another third down conversion attempt. The Colts end up going back to third and nine. They don't convert. That sucked. Then Vinny missed a 57-yard attempt with 32 seconds to go in the half. I'm not going to kill Vinny for that 57-yard miss. What sucks is how the Colts constantly throughout this – okay, the Colts only had – just to get into this, the Colts only had four penalties on the day, okay? If I'm not mistaken, the Colts had four penalties on the day. It seemed like all of them were negating a third down attempt or a positive play or, you know, something that really wasn't even close to the penalty. And that's what sucked for the Colts in this game. The Colts were making mistakes. They weren't coming through offensively. And then even, you know, just in general, the Colts were drawing penalties defensively. Think about that. That's a great stat. Even if you have four defensive penalties through the game, that's not bad. You expect at least an illegal contact. You expect a PI eventually in this game. You expect a couple things and offsides, you know, one way or another, a late hit. Four penalties for a team is not bad. They were just awful, awful timing. And at halftime, the Colts are down, and they just look like they're getting worse because they're having stupid mistakes. Gawinski goes downfield. Ryan Kelly went downfield on another one. This is all about execution. This is all about these guys getting their heads right, and it just looked like very few of the Colts had their heads right at this point. Strangely enough, the Brissett and Carr stat line at halftime was fairly similar. 10 of 21 for 86 and a touchdown for Brissett. Obviously, Carr had some more yardage, but 12 of 20 for him at this point, 107 and two scores. So even though Brissett started out 1 for 5, he ended up bringing it back to fairly respectable, still under 50%. That's not good. You don't ever want to see a guy like Brissett being that low in the completion rate. But the Raiders had 110 rushing yards, the Colts to 58 at half. Mac was 9 of 36. The Colts only had one QB hit in the first half. And guess what? They only ended up with one sack in the game. This is a problem. Colts were 3 of 9 on third down. The Raiders were 3 of 6. The Colts had four penalties for 30 yards at this point. Raiders had 5 for 44. Very little. There was a couple of nice plays, a back shoulder adjustment for Rodgers early in the second half on their first possession. It was a second down throw. Nice 17-yard gain. Mac was getting hit in the backfield. Negative plays. Colts punt right out of the gate again. This sucks. We've got to be more effective on their initial possessions of the half, whether it's that they get the ball first or not, whether it's the first half, the second half. The Colts have to put points on the board on their first drive. That's the drive you scheme before each game. That's the drive you scheme coming out of the halftime tunnel. Those are important possessions that have to have some points as a result. You cannot go scoreless on those. The Colts defense was still awful up front. No pressure. No being able to stop the running back. The pursuit was spotty. They were over-pursuing all day through the whole front seven and even some of the back four. You know, this is just ugly football all the way around. The linebackers were failing to make plays in the hole. Even Anthony Walker this one time goes to kind of shed a lineman coming to the second level, and he just kind of throws a shoulder at him and doesn't really do much else. And then he misses – even he throws his left shoulder into him, and the ball carrier goes to his right. So he doesn't shed the block efficiently, and he doesn't make the tackle. It is like his feet were stuck in mud, and it just was an ugly situation. It was not one that was very impressive to me. The Raiders end up in going up 24-10 after a field goal. It was a 16-play drive with over 9 minutes gone in the clock, and the Colts just aren't good on defense right now. Brissett converted to Campbell. Then Campbell doesn't finish his route on a deep ball. The Colts can't sustain another drive. It goes on. The Colts end up going up to 17 points with a little under 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes to go in the fourth. It was a 14-play drive. It was a touchdown to Chester Rogers. And this is 24-17. Now, on this drive, this is one of the things that caught my eye. Now, it's one of those things where it didn't work the first time. It made no sense to try it again. However, it worked on the second time. They went on 3rd and 1 to Hines as a running back. He got stuffed immediately. This is his thing. He is not good between the tackles. And he's in there as a running back. Not you see all of his yak, all of his good open field ability to run the ball when he catches a pass. He is not good behind the line. However, Frank Reich wasn't scared. He went right back with him, hurry up, and on a fourth and goal, or a fourth and one, fourth and two, whatever it ended up being, somehow Hines ends up converting on the fourth down. Anyways, it just kind of blew my mind. There was a really good catch by Pascal converting on third down in this one as well. Really nice ball. Even a better catch, in my opinion. The Colts were inside the 30-yard line, and Brissett eluded pressure pump faking a couple different times in this game. And somehow he steps back, steps up, and everybody kind of falls around him. His pocket movement scares me, but it's been effective so far. It's hard to have something to bitch about when it works. It's ugly watching. Anyways, Brissett ended up throwing his touchdown. The Colts are only down a score now. The Colts allowed a 16-yard run when the first play from scrimmage, or not full play, but was a penalty. And it's first and 15. The Colts allow a 16-yard run on the very next play. It was despicable tackling. The pursuit was ugly. They did end up forcing a punt somehow on this drive. And this, to me, kind of felt like the Raiders gave up on this drive, honestly. I don't know how they didn't put points on the board anyways. The Colts didn't call a timeout after the Raiders' third down play. And that kind of, it's a judgment call when you've got all three of your touchdowns. You're like 3 minutes and 15 seconds or something like that left in the game, I think. I'm struggling to remember the clock time on this one. But there was about 45 seconds that came off the clock between that and the punt and the catch. And I thought that the Colts really could have used that 45 seconds. Yes, you give Derek Carr an opportunity to do that, but it felt like the Colts were going to have to get two possessions out of this game almost with just a little bit of time left. They had to score quick, and they had to be able to do something, force a play, and they couldn't. Rodgers got lit up by the Raiders on the first play after that catch, lit up. Hines ran for a first down after the catch. Then Brissett threw the pick six, and with 2:09 left in the game, the Colts go down 31-17. Obviously, Brissett hits Ebron on the touchdown throw further down. Nice drive here for Brissett, but the penalty on Ryan Kelly on that screen pass would have picked up a first down right off the jump here, and it went down. Brissett did a nice job calming himself down, got himself up out of the pocket. Throwing to Pascal for 28 yards, to Doyle for a few. Pascal ended up getting that offensive pass interference call, and we knew that was kind of what that call was probably going to be after you see him with a straight arm to the face of the defender. Then Brissett stepped up into the pocket on a crucial play and threw the touchdown to Ebron. The Colts go up 31-24 with 1:10 to go. Final thought on this game was kind of the issue with the Colts kickoff after this. I know that it's harder now to recover an onside kick because of all the protections of the guys up front, but I think you've got to be creative here. You've got to do something where you have Vinatieri or even maybe Sanchez doing something with the ball to where you're squibbing some sort of worm burner to try to get through the initial line of the defense, get the ball to pop up or something like that, make a play. I think they've got to try something. If they were going to give up, you know, immediately on the first play that the Raiders run, then what the hell's the point? You know, do something to give yourself an opportunity to get the ball back, even if it's slim, because kicking the ball deep and allowing your defense to allow them to run the ball right down their face because they have been all game pretty much, that doesn't fall in line to me with what Frank Reich should have been thinking. So this was a struggle for me to get past on that. You just kind of a look, you fought your ass off, you came back, you're within a score. Give something the chance to happen. Let the ball bounce your way one time and get yourself in the opportunity to put it into overtime. And he didn't. And I was kind of surprised by that. I thought that would have been the Frank Reich move personally. Whether or not that's everybody's thoughts or not, I get it. You know, maybe you say, hey, you guys haven't done shit all day. Go out and stop them, and maybe they do it. Maybe they force a fumble. Maybe they get a pick. Who knows? But I just felt like that if you have the opportunity of letting that odd-shaped ball bounce the way that it should to, you know, for you guys to get the ball back. The Colts hadn't made a play all day. You know, let something else assist you in making a play other than defense that's not doing anything. So that was my thoughts from the game for the most part in a nutshell throughout the game. 31-24 loss to the Colts. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some more on this Monday edition of the Colts Cast. We'll be right back after these words.
Okay, guys, I want to talk to you about TickPick. TickPick is a great way to get tickets to see the Colts or any other sports, music, or entertainment event of your choice. Not only will you save 10 to 15% off every ticket order, you can do it without any annoying fees at checkout. Think StubHub, but without the fees. Just head to TickPick.com, select your seats, and head to checkout. Get on your way to the next Colts game with TickPick.
All right, folks, we're back. Let's talk a little more in general about this Colts team at the moment. 2-2 now in the AFC South. Texans lose one yesterday. They're not exactly riding high. But look at Tennessee. Look at Jacksonville with Minshew. You know, Mariota actually had a good game yesterday. So look at where the Colts are sitting in the AFC South. A lot of people, you know, even over the past couple weeks, kind of went from the Colts still looking great or thinking that they were good enough after week two, really, thinking that they were kind of, you know, the team to beat, whatever you want to call it, in the AFC South. Then people kind of switched over to the Texans because of how they look. And now look at the two teams that, you know, for all intents and purposes, I mean, the Jaguars, give them credit. They've climbed each week under a rookie, what, sixth-round quarterback, who I don't think the next Tom Brady, but I think he's good enough to lead this team and be a productive quarterback. I actually liked Minshew going through, you know, the draft guide and whatnot. I think I had him like seventh in quarterbacks. I didn't think he was great, but he's found himself some go here in the NFL, which is, you know, kind of fun to watch. I love watching the older, the deeper round picks kind of prove that they can do some things. And he's taking care of the ball better than the number six overall pick, who is giving his team with the Giants, Daniel Jones, a spark, so to speak. But he's loose with the ball. You don't see that with Minshew a whole lot. Mariota, the Colts kind of proved that, you know, Tennessee's just not a good team when they play the Colts very often. The Colts should, I think, be able to take them in their second game as well. I'm not too worried about the Titans at this point. However, the momentum in the South, you know, even with a lot of 2-2 records, I mean, the Colts are 2-2. I believe the Jags and the Titans are now 2-2. And I'm not entirely sure what the Texans are. Hell, they might be 2-2 as well. This is kind of where the breaking point starts. Okay, you had an opportunity to go up 3-1, be the top of the AFC South in this, and you lost it. You pissed it away. And now you're kind of at a starting the second quarter of the season, and your first game is against the Kansas City Chiefs, a team who's, aside from this past Sunday against the Lions, have been rocking people. Having one monster quarter and basically that's all they've needed to outscore their opponents. Granted, they haven't played many decent teams, but the Colts right now aren't a decent team, guys. They're 2-2 going into week five. And like I said, prime time against one of the most electric quarterbacks in the NFL, this is not going to bode well. The Colts desperately need T.Y. Hilton to be healthy. They desperately need Darius Leonard to not only be healthy, but to resemble who he was last year. I'm not trying to say that there's a massive fall off right now with Darius Leonard, but I'm worried that there might be. He's injured. He didn't play very well his first couple weeks, second week better than the first, obviously. But they're just not getting good linebacker play. I wonder where the spark has gone. I wonder if this is an Matt Eberflus issue with play calling. I wonder, because I don't know. I wonder if it's an effort issue. I wonder if it's that these guys just have the wrong mentality, thinking they're better than people or something, that they can just pretty much suit up, go out there, and people are going to fall down when they get close to tackling them. Because Colts tackling right now sucks. We saw a lot of guys miss tackles. I think the bright spot on here is the Kari Willis. I think this safety has really just gone above and beyond to prove that he's a physical dude. He's going to come downhill and make tackles along line of scrimmage and make quality tackles. And I like the way he's played football. And I think that the Colts do too. I thought that Gethers had a pretty decent day yesterday. I guess I didn't watch much about him in coverage in terms of that, but I thought he was a solid tackler as well. But the linebackers are sucked right now. I mean, they just do. EJ Speed comes downhill and makes a few tackles, but those are kind of cleanup tackles. So it's not negative. I'm just saying, you know, he's not out there just stopping people in their tracks. on his own. The defensive line is getting pushed around, and they're not getting pressure. The blitzes aren't getting home for the Colts. There's just a lot of things right now at all levels of this Colts defense that suck, and they've got to turn it around. And if they don't turn it around, they're going to find themselves at 2-4, 2-5, and it's going to be a rough process the rest of the way out for the Colts if they don't get it together. You have to have more than one thing going in your direction. Yes, you kind of think about the Vinatieri issue in the first few weeks, couple weeks. That was an issue. That definitely cost the Colts the week one game. This time and the past couple weeks, it's been the defense just looking like trash. They have to get themselves better equipped to deal, or they've got to start using these guys in better situations that are there to help them succeed. Because Marcus Hunt right now, getting pushed around, not batting any balls down, not getting his hands in there. We saw the Colts, yesterday, the Raiders had, if I'm not mistaken, 10 passes defensed yesterday. That's insane. That's a couple smacks at the line of scrimmage. That's an interception. That's a batted ball at the catch point. They were playing better than the Colts all the way around. On the Colts' end, they had 3. The Colts had 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits throughout the entire game. Yes, the Colts kept Brissett clean as well. No sacks, only a few hits on him throughout the day. But he was getting pressure throughout the day. I mean, this wasn't, something to where he was just clean. He ended up being clean. He wasn't helped all that much in being clean. The Colts struggled with stunts. They were not picking up assignments. They were not recognizing secondary guys coming in for a blitz. They did not pick up things well. They looked pretty bad. And when you do that, you kind of start the ball rolling in the negative direction for the offense. You get drops from Ebron. You get, I think, some questionable play calling throughout, but at the same time, you have a fumble by Paris Campbell after trying to get extra yardage. So the effort's there, right, from him, just a negative result. And it throughout, it was on both sides of the ball. Everything was negative. Like I said, I'm not going to kill Vinny for that 57-yard miss, but look, the Colts better get their shit together because they've got a big one coming up. And, the injuries suck. But, man, guys, they had a full offensive line, healthy as can be. You still get a good quality game, in my opinion, out of Nelson and Costanzo. I think Ryan Kelly sucked yesterday, and, of course, I'm being a little dramatic. He wasn't good. I don't think Glowinski was good. I think Braden Smith was okay. But then you look at what am I getting at is that right side of that line, they're not either working well together or they're not picking each other up. And I think some of this falls on Brissett as well. He's got to be better pre-snap. He's got to be helping this offensive line what he sees. And I don't think he's doing that very well. So this is another aspect to his game that's got to improve dramatically for the Colts. And I think dramatically is the accurate word here. It's just not doing anything for the team. He's not helping himself. He's not helping them. I think Marlon Mack is a real bright spot right now. But I wonder, the Colts aren't mentally right up front, I guess. I think that they're physically good. I think Glowinski's a good guard. I think that Braden Smith is a much better than I expected tackle. And I think Ryan Kelly's I just told you guys this the other day going through grades. I think Ryan Kelly's a hell of a center. He's just not doing very well. He's had a couple years in his career right now where the grades, whatever, but he hasn't had good showings. And he's got to improve. He's a big boy. He was going to be one of the best centers in the NFL when he got drafted. And he looked really good. And he looks really good a lot. But he's got to be more consistent. He can't have massive games like this where he has mental errors, in my opinion. He's got to be the bully. And he was getting shoved around, too, quite a bit. So let's not pretend also that the Raiders aren't talented, okay? We see how many risks they take. Perfect is a talented linebacker. He's just a complete jackass, and he does things like that to get himself ejected and hurt people. But you've got a bunch of front line talent on that defense, and that's where the Colts got smacked around yesterday, a large part of it. The secondary did well. They made plays, but we also saw the Colts receivers. I thought Chester Rogers making a couple plays was really fun to watch. just in terms of the Colts receiving and running game, Pascal, 4 catches, 72 yards. Ebron had 48 yards. He was tied for the second most yards on the team with 1 catch on 5 targets. That's terrible. Rodgers, 3 catches on 6. Hines, 6 of 6. So he's a reliable guy out of the backfield. Not the big number guy, but doing very well in terms of after the catch. 5 catches on 8 targets for Paris Campbell. 4 of 8 for Jack Doyle. And 1 for 1 from Jordan Wilkins. Wilkins, 4 runs for 17 yards. Marlon Mack, 11 for 39. And Hines, 3 for 6 yards. So the Colts running game that is considered to be a real weapon for the Colts here is just coming up short, and they've not had an opportunity in games like this to really hone in on it, even though they had 23 carries. Another 5 to 6 carries in this game could have really made a difference for the Colts. But, you know, you look at what the Colts were up against. They were down a large portion of this game, at least a score, most of the time more than a score. And that's obviously going to take away from the running game. So we have to think about that as well. Across the aisle there, you've got the Raiders running for 188 yards. I mean, that's too damn much. Almost 6 yards a carry. I mean, you've got a negative play for Derek Carr. Everybody else just killing it. Trevor Davis, that big 60-yard run. Josh Jacobs just gashed the Colts, in my opinion, throughout the day. 17 for 79 would have been better on a couple of plays had he not been, you know, the receiver of poor offensive line playing a couple, and the Colts end up getting in the backfield and stopping him on negative play. So a lot of things to think about here in this game. The Colts going to go into Arrowhead, and this is going to be a scary game. Now, the Colts are 2-2, could be 2-3 by the end of Sunday. Obviously, we're not going to give the Colts this win. They're not going to be favored, nor should any Colts fan really go into this game thinking they are going to win. We saw the Lions hang with them, and I don't think they've looked very good this year. I think the Colts in their best day are better, much better than the Lions on theirs, and personally. On the other hand, the Colts have a lot of flaws right now, and one of their major flaws is that their defense isn't working. And unless Patrick Mahomes gets stupid with the ball a lot, the Colts have to be on their game defensively next week. They have to make these zones tighter. They've got to be better in man coverage. They've got to get their safeties deep. And they've got to be able to make plays on the ball. Not only that, guys, look, 8 sacks through the first 2 weeks. One sack the last 2 weeks. Not good. Colts aren't getting pressure. They've got to get pressure. They've got to. This is something that the Colts are really struggling at. There are a lot of aspects to this defense that suck right now, honestly. And I hope that Eberflus is going in there and talking to them just that way, because they know that they can be good. They know that they've gotten the talent, and they've got the camaraderie, and they've got the mesh and the chemistry, all that other stuff that goes with it. Now you got to play football. And if your defense isn't playing football, some of these quarterbacks today, guys, some of these skill position guys, they're just going to burn your ass immediately. I mean, we saw Trevor Davis. How many of you knew who he was before that run? Electric. The Colts aren't dealing well now with speed very well, and their defense is based on speed. That's a problem. Okay? So the Colts need to get better defensively. Their offensive game needs to improve. Hopefully T.Y. Hilton gets healthy, and hopefully Frank Reich can kind of put this game out of his mind, go forward, and try to get himself ready to go and to help Jacoby have a better day, in my opinion, because a lot of Frank Reich's success bleeds into Jacoby Brissett. I think, and I said that backwards, Brissett's success leads back to Frank Reich, because I think his play calling, I think his intuition through games is exactly perfect and lines up really well with Brissett when they're both on. They both got to be on. The play calling's got to be on. The execution's got to be on. And right now, that's not happening. So let's hope for the better coming up for the Colts. But Colts drop this one, go to 2-2. We'll be back with another show later on in the week, at least, probably 2. And in fact, yes, 2. And so hopefully the Colts can get through this one and make this one a better game. I would like to see the Colts. I think that the Colts are going to end up 2-3 after this weekend. But hopefully, you know, the Colts can have a great week of practice, make this a really good game, and make a showing and say, hey, we may or may not win this game come Sunday, but we're back. We're back in line with what we got. We're not on. They're not on the level with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think we all know that talent wise. But if they could keep that game close and look good doing it, not get smoked, I think that that'll turn some heads as well. So confidence probably going to be down in this week's fan pulse. But I think that after next week, it's possible that it could be on its way back up if the Colts have a good showing. So thank you guys all for listening. I'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.